welcome to This Podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, a show in which we reiterate, it's not about the size of your chainsaw, it's about what you do with it.
Well, hey, we're back, folks. My name's Callum.
And my name is Chelsea.
For us two, it's been about a 4-month break from recording. You lot, it's been a month since you've had a podcast episode.
Who knows if we know how to make a podcast anymore? I certainly don't.
Not a dickens. This week we are doing Mandy.
Mandy.
Not the drug, but we're watching the film.
Although I feel like having the drug would have made the film easier to watch.
Quite possibly. We're doing Mandy, the film. But before we get to that, we've got a little, tiny little bit of housekeeping. So bear with us.
Yes. So from now on, we're going to be keeping this podcast as a monthly sort of thing. So you'll get an episode on the first Monday of every month. And that is because, big news, I'm going back to school.
Woohoo!
Woo! I'm off to get a master's degree, and that's going to take a lot more time.
Yes.
And I will not have time to watch Nicolas Cage. I have to watch actual films.
Also, I bought a PlayStation 5, so I've got a lot on my plate right now as well.
All that Spider-Man to play.
So, yes. So, to be honest, it doesn't actually make any difference to you, because for the last 3 months, it's been a monthly podcast, but for us, it's now a monthly podcast. It's monthly.
Yeah, just so that we can give you vaguely decent quality things to listen to, hopefully.
Anyway, on with the vaguely decent stuff.
Woo!
Mandy.
Mandy.
2018's Mandy. Now, this is a film we've actually watched before.
Yes, one of the few Nicolas Cages I had already seen before we embarked on this project.
Yes, this was a birthday present of mine, I believe.
It was, because I am the best girlfriend. Even though it's gory and I hate things like that, I bought it for you and watched it with you.
Yes.
Not long after it came out, I feel.
No, I don't even know if it got a full wide cinema release over here. I think it might have.
I think it was very quick.
Might have done a couple of screenings at the Prince Charles in London and some art house cinemas, and then just went straight to DVD almost.
But, that said,
yes.
Did you remember anything from the last time you watched it when we went to watch it this time?
So I was intrigued going into watching this the second time, because the first time I watched it, I was very sleepy. I for some reason, really struggled to stay awake, not because I wasn't enjoying it, but just because there was an overwhelming sort of sleepiness that came over me when I first watched it.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I would say the first half is very slow.
Yeah, I mean, the whole film's quite slow, and it's got a kind of a... It's very dreamlike. It's very sort of... it's slow and dark, but colourful at the same time. It's dreamy.
Did you doze off and dream of tigers at any point?
No, I didn't have a dream of tigers.
Were your dreams in
2D animations? They weren't. I seem to remember they were probably just purple and pink and swirly.
Yeah, I remembered very little, surprisingly.
For a film that's got this many things to remember.
Yeah. I remembered so little of it.
Yeah.
I remembered maybe one of the main plot points. I didn't remember a lot of the style elements. It's really strange, because watching it now, I'm like, oh, they made some big choices.
Oh, it's a film. The whole film's bold choice, isn't it?
Yeah, none of it stuck with me at all. I was really surprised. Yeah. How did I not remember this?
It's kind of odd, right?
You chopped a woman's head off and threw it at a man on the floor. How did I not remember that?
Yeah. There was just a tiger in a box.
I totally forgot there was a tiger.
There's that big orange
bathroom.
He's
wearing it on his t-shirt. He's telling me it's going to happen for like half an hour before it happens. Totally forgot.
So the only things that really stuck to my head, I'm sure, are things that we're going to talk about at some point going forwards. But there was sort of two major things that stayed in my head from the first time we watched it. And that was Cheddar Goblin.
You remembered Cheddar Goblin. What is wrong with you?
And the chainsaw fight.
I didn't remember any of that. I remembered the stuff early on where you just kind of see them lying in bed and they're chatting to each other.
Yeah.
They're talking about planets, I think. But yes. I remember that there's a sort of purplish light on them and I kind of remembered that image.
Yeah.
And I remembered there being a cult.
Yes.
But very little about that.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I couldn't quite believe it, because watching it back, there is so much to remember.
To dive into. So, should we dive into some of that?
Yes. Would you like to give us a little summary of Mandy for those of us who have not seen it?
Nicolas Cage plays Red, who is seeing a lumberjack, seeing a woman named Mandy.
Although we never see him really doing his lumberjack work, which is a shame.
We see a bit at the beginning, don't we?
Not enough.
No.
That sounded really thirsty. That's not what I meant.
It is
That's
thirsty.
That's not what I meant.
She's got a thing for lumberjacks, I'm sure. Nicolas Cage plays Red. Mandy is the titular partner. They live in the woods in the arse end of nowhere, having a very remote, quiet, sort of hipsterish life where they listen to rock music and read H.P. Lovecraft books and.
Is it the 80s or is it just styled like the 80s because they're semi-off-grid?
It's said one of the title cards, you know those kind of rock band style title cards that came up at various points?
Yeah.
One of them said 1983, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know whether that was, again, but I don't know whether for sure it's meant to be 1983 or whether we're just establishing that the tone and style of the film is like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't know. Because it doesn't really matter, almost,
no,
does it?
No, it doesn't.
But I would assume it's meant to be that kind of time. And Mandy gets kidnapped by a cult leader called Jebediah, who is kind of basically a Charles Manson-esque sort of person.
I mean, we'll come on to that. I have thoughts. I have many thoughts.
The Charles Manson style cult have got themselves involved with quad bike riding dildo covered space demons, and they sacrifice Mandy and chop off her head and burn her and shit. And no, they don't chop off her head, that's someone else. They burn her.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage sees it all, manages to escape, and is going to exact revenge on Jebediah, the cult, and the sex space demons. Because they killed Mandy. There you go.
He finally found out how to get burned.
He sat there and he watched it.
Yeah,
he had to watch
now.
It. So that's Mandy.
That is Mandy.
In a nutshell. But there are so many more weird little details to stick up on.
That opening poem. The text to this poem. When I die, bury me deep. Lay two speakers at my feet, put some headphones on my head, and rock and roll me when I'm dead.
Yeah.
I thought it was some kind of song lyric, because it's totally... It's a metal kind of
thing. Yeah, it sounds, yeah.
I was looking at... It's not attributed to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it just sounds like the homepage of, like, a super emo kid on Bebo. Like, you would log in, there'd be their picture, and it's all, like, grayscale, and massive eyeliner on, and this is the text underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
Oh, where's
it
from?
Apparently, according to the internet...
Yes,
so,
reliable source, the internet.
Yes. They appear to come from the final words of Douglas Roberts, who was a man who was convicted of kidnapping, robbery, and murder in Texas. And he was executed in 2005.
Oh.
But it isn't credited in the film or verified really by anyone.
Oh.
But that, in theory, is where they come from.
Interesting.
Super interesting, because it actually fits in really well with what the cult are doing. That's essentially
the cult's
MO.
It's a... film that stylistically that's about rock music and cult bands, cult and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
and I was having a little giggle at the beginning, going, "Oh, this is funny and emo and silly, isn't it?"
Yeah.
No, murderer.
I mean, I guess murderers are the true emos, aren't they?
Oh no.
But I mean, on that, like, the opening sets this up to be a film that I should really enjoy. Number one, they do that thing where they put the old studio logo at the front.
Yeah.
I love it when you see the old Universal globe rather than the new spangly one. I'm always like, oh yeah, this is gonna be good. And
sorry, it's like what?
You heard me. And then you've got all the font and text work throughout the film, these kind of, at three points, these texts pop up on the screen to kind of segment the film into three sections.
Yeah.
And they're all done in the style of like different like 70s, 80s rock music. So some of it's like Carpenters-esque. One of them, the title card for Mandy is like
Led Zeppelin-y.
Like where it's like proper like death screamo metal. It's like that kind of bleeding text kind of thing. And they're really cool.
Yeah.
It's like stylistically, it's fucking lovely.
Yeah.
The
opening credits is literally just creepy music over trees. And for a long time, I was like, someone saw The Shining.
Yes.
And had a good time at The Shining, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. If it works, steal it. Why not? But yeah.
But it has got Shining vibes. With two people just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's not so... Well, no, I guess you could argue that it is about sort of losing your grip on reality.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's a different catalyst.
It's a different kind of isolation.
Yeah. It's a different catalyst. Mm. Like, the fact that Jack loses his mind in The Shining is because he's an asshole. And the reason, you know, Red loses his mind in this is because everything he's loved has been taken away from him in the most brutal manner ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah, I guess, yeah, definitely there's some comparisons to be made.
I did not think it was that brutal this time, you know. The first time I watched it, as we were watching it back through, I remember being really affected the first time when you see...
The film in total, but the death.
No, by that scene, yeah. By the death of Mandy.
Yes.
When the cult pick her up.
Yeah.
And you don't see her necessarily, you see... what looks like a body in a bag.
Yeah.
Being hung from a tree and then set on fire.
Yeah.
And then later Nicolas Cage comes up and it's all dust and bone.
Yeah, it's like a dusty skull that gets blown
away. I was
away.
Really affected the first time I watched it. Mm. I remember that feeling. And then watching it this time, I was just kind of like, I don't believe it.
Oh, okay.
And I think I've got more of a focus now on character building.
Yeah.
And they spend a long time in the beginning being very slow, talking very slow, in theory, getting to know the characters.
Yeah.
I don't think we did at all, and I think that's why I didn't really care.
That's fair enough. I think there's something to be said for that. Like,
yeah, it was
none of the character building at the beginning is necessarily super substantial.
No, I mean, all you know about Mandy at that point is... she's an artist and she is really into sci-fi and like B-movie horror.
Yeah.
Do you know anything else about her?
Yeah. I don't know whether necessarily that time at the beginning of the film is because it doesn't feel like character building. I agree with you. I think it's...
No, but I feel like the time was supposed to have been spent on atmosphere building and I don't think it achieved that particularly well either, personally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While they made some really strong... there are visual effects coming out of your eyeballs, like, everywhere.
Mm.
I don't think it was super atmospheric. And I don't know if that's just because we watched it on a Saturday afternoon that was just a bit gloomy. Rather than at night, when we wouldn't have been able to see half the screen.
Yeah.
But you know what I would have liked to have seen?
What?
I don't know if you'll agree with me. But if they had the guts to do it, I would have liked to have seen Nicolas Cage burned and Mandy going on a rampage.
Oh, yeah.
A vengeance-filled rampage.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I think it would have been much more interesting. All the stuff where Nicolas Cage falls asleep and he's dreaming in cartoon.
Yeah.
Would have made much more sense because Mandy's the artist.
Yeah.
I think it's probably something to do with he's seeing her in this kind of weird psychedelic art space that she was into.
Yeah.
But... it would have made much more sense if that was Mandy dreaming, because she's an artist. Maybe she does dream in weird ways like that. I just think it would have been so much more fun and more interesting and not done yet.
Yeah?
I mean, it probably has been done somewhere and I haven't seen the film, but yeah. I would like to see Mandy's rampage instead of Red's rampage.
Fair enough.
I think the beginning of the film would have made much more sense. But...
do they give a shit about your sense?
No, I think
that's
they
the
don't.
Film.
And the thing is, that is a choice not to care.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of making something just for the sake of making it.
Yeah.
Like, if it doesn't make sense, what is the point? To show off that you know how to use pretty pink lights.
Yeah.
Like, you know? I just feel like we've seen it before, man. That's my take on Mandy. Hot take. We've seen it before, dude.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. That's my point. Job done. End of podcast.
What about the guy who's got a blade for a penis?
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's the one of the things that's really interesting about this film is that this has been touted as like, it's the thing that's Nicolas Cage's best work in years. And he's doing a good job
in it. He does a great job in it.
It's an amazing cult film for the times. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it.
No.
I just don't know if it's as amazing as everyone said it was. I personally enjoyed Colour Out of Space more.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Why is that?
I think there's just a slight sense of personal taste because Colour Out of Space leans slightly more into the sort of pulpy, B-movie, kind of monster movie, Halloween-y kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just... And again, not without knowing what H.P. Lovecraft as a genre means and an author means, I feel like this is just much more of a love letter to that. And a love letter to things that I don't necessarily love.
Yeah.
Rock music. Cults. I'm not a lover of cults.
Well, I don't...
You know?
I was about to say I don't think this cult is done very well.
Yeah.
And that's not to take away from how difficult it is to make a movie and write a script, especially when you're doing a script that is not really about what is said.
Yeah.
But the cult leader particularly.
Yeah.
One of the main characteristics of a cult leader is that they're really charismatic. And that's why people follow them.
Yeah.
That's why people go as far as to poison themselves. Because this person is so charismatic, they can convince you that that is what whatever deity wants you to do.
Yeah.
That is the right thing to do. And you're going to believe them because they've got charisma, you know,
coming out
their butts. This dude, like the first time we see him even, he's just this kind of snivelling, bring me this pretty girl I saw. Like he's openly just abusing them immediately, his followers.
Yeah.
There's nothing to make you go, oh, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
He's just an angry man. And that's not scary. I think it's scarier if you see someone who can convince you to do immoral things.
Mm.
That is scary. There's nothing that brings the horror. I feel like there's a whole element of horror that was missed here.
Mm.
And that is the horror of the cult. All it is really is gore.
Yeah? No. Okay, yeah? Cool. I don't know. I think that there's... it's not horror, but there's something unsettling about the cult.
And I just know too many stories about real life ones where I didn't find it unsettling because it was so... I've seen those characters in films before.
Yeah.
And the scary thing about cults is it's real people. And none of them felt like real people because the film doesn't really spend time on characters or anything.
No, it's a tone piece, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like tone piece is an excuse, personally. I always feel like it's an excuse to not bother.
Hmm.
But I'm not a film person. What do I know?
No, but I'm not either because I can't argue back with you. And I haven't got the capacity or the gumption to argue back with you either. I'm just like, eh.
We're very tired, listeners. We don't really care about this film.
It's not even that. I'm just a bit like, I enjoyed it enough.
Hmm.
I like the lead cult guy's performance. That scene where he's sort of soliloquizing, is that a word? Made that up. To Mandy about his music and people not liking it and that being part of the reason why he got in the cult, and I'm the new Jesus, and then he starts like stripping and wanking in front of her and all of that kind of stuff. I found that very sort of powerful and unsettling.
Okay, that's fair. I would ask you whether most of that is because of the effects that were laid on top.
No, I think it's...
Mandy's been drugged at that point, listeners. So
yeah.
The screen is very psychedelic and in and out of focus.
I think it's from the bit where he masturbated in front of a woman.
For like 3 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
He was angry that she was laughing at him.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And then her response. I just found that unsettling.
Okay. That's fair.
Maybe it's because of a tonal build-up. Maybe because of all of the...
Yeah.
The purple and the slow tone. And that's the first kind of event, almost.
Yes, it is the first thing that's happened.
After maybe the... No, because they don't... They initially... After the actual initial kidnapping.
Yeah.
That's the sort of second major event, almost. Mm. So maybe that's why.
Ever heard of a lie?
Hey, have you ever been dragged to the sidewalk and beat until you... Pissed! Blood!
Do you want to talk about Cheddar Goblin? To lighten the tone a bit.
Do space demons always drive on quad bikes?
Well, I don't know. Do they also always watch human porn and take coke?
Yeah. What else are they going to do? Play chess? They're space demons.
It's a whole new planet out here, and immediately they find porn and coke and quad bikes.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love it. If you went to another planet...
Yeah.
What would you... Where would you go first for entertainment?
Find out where they keep their porn and their coke.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you? Yes, so Cheddar Goblin. Once Mandy's been burnt to death and her skull blows away in the breeze, Nicolas Cage walks back into the house that they... A lovely, lovely fucking house. Oh, love that house.
Amazing house. Creepy house. That would be creepy to stay in.
Would you sleep in the big glass box they sleep in? Because they sleep in basically a massive conservatory, don't they?
Yeah. Like wall to floor to ceiling glass.
Every, you know, all you know, all the sides except the floor is glass. Would you sleep in that?
The answer is I would try, but I probably wouldn't be able to sleep.
You know what I'm like in the mornings.
Well, you'd be awake as soon as the
slightest bit of sunshine comes in and I'm awake, so I'd be fucked.
Oh no, see, that's when I would be able to fall asleep. I'd spend all night being like, there could be anything else on that window.
There could be a dildo space demon out there.
There could be a dildo space demon.
Anyway, so as soon as Nicolas Cage comes back to the house after having escaped the barbed wire shackles, the TV's on and it's playing an advert for something called Cheddar Goblin, which is a little green sort of papier-mâché puppet of a goblin vomiting cheddar.
Mac and cheese.
Over the top of kids' heads. And it's just for a product called Cheddar Goblin. And he just stares at it mindlessly. And then the TV goes to an emergency broadcast test. And then he falls asleep. And it's odd. But that was something that stuck in my head from the first viewing, was Cheddar Goblin. I think because it's so bizarre. And it's obviously comedic.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's trying to make that thing of like, that kind of, I always really appreciate it when films frame death and loss by juxtaposing it with the kind of the banality of life that's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always really like it when like a comedy show or a comedy film just goes, boom, someone's dead. Because that's how it happens.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, you're not expecting it and then you're just having a jolly time. Boop, 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 eating your cheddar goblin or whatever. And then, boom, you get a phone call and find out that your wife's been murdered by a sex cult or whatever.
Yeah.
And I kind of always like that when that happens. I thought the Cheddar Goblin was kind of a strangely good attempt at that weird tonal shift where you're just sort of standing there after death going, what the fuck do I do now? I just saw my partner burnt to a crisp. And now the telly's on playing Cheddar Goblin.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
In a fun way.
Yeah, it's odd. It's, again, another tonally odd thing. I wonder where the fuck that came from. I've also got the phrase hench toddler written on...
Do you know why that is?
Oh, that's because you said that.
It's because Nicolas Cage is wandering around after his wife has been murdered. He's wandering around their creepy nice house.
Yes.
Wearing just a t-shirt and some wire fronts. The t-shirt pulled as low as it'll go. And...
covered in blood.
And he looks like an adult-sized toddler. He looks like a hench toddler. Any person wearing a t-shirt and pants but no trousers You look like a toddler. Well, just so you know, if you're walking around your house looking like that right now, I think you look like a toddler.
At least he wasn't poo-bearing, which is where you take the underwear off and you just have the t-shirt on. An act that's called poo-bearing in our house. But yeah, that, I mean, while we're on that scene, seems like a perfect time to do your favourite...
Is it time for a segment I like to call Help, I'm Trapped in a Glass Nicolas Cage of Emotion?
It certainly is. Play the clip of Nicolas Cage screaming in the bathroom, please. There you go.
Not only is he screaming in the bathroom, he is sitting on the toilet in his pants, downing vodka, pouring it on his cuts, and screaming.
Nicolas Cage had an uncredited screaming coach for this movie named David Sellers.
No!
There's some IMDb trivia for you.
That's amazing.
He had a screaming coach.
He doesn't even scream that much.
Not for Nicolas Cage. It's kind of pretty much... just that one scene.
This is calm for him.
Yeah.
I didn't write down any other scenes for it. I know he does a lot of, like, murdering, but he doesn't do it in a cage way, necessarily.
There's some very good cage staring later on when he's covered in blood.
Oh, the bit in the car.
I'm sure, to be honest, I'm sure the image that we're referring to is probably the cover art for this episode.
Oh, it's a meme, isn't it? It's a meme waiting to happen if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage... absolutely covered in blood to the point where it doesn't even look like blood anymore. It just looks weird. His eyes shining out, staring at the camera. Cut away, cut back to him, and he's got a grin on his face.
Yeah.
Because he's imagining Mandy sat in the seat next to him.
Yeah.
Very creeps.
All of that stuff with Nicolas Cage as we're moving through the plot, where he's now sort of exacting his revenge, gave me very strong Bruce Campbell Evil Dead 2 vibes.
Okay.
In that kind of like, it's kind of absurd and like comedic in its sort of complete sort of stupidity. But it's not played like that. But I kind of grasped that they're almost trying to leap over that, playing it straight, but giving it that kind of tone.
I feel like if they'd done a bit more, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
There's not quite enough of it.
Yeah.
I think they're still leaning slightly too into the serious, which is a weird thing to say for a movie with literal space demons in it.
Yeah.
What?
I've got a good name for the space demons.
Yeah.
Okay. So they reminded me a lot of Cenobites.
Uh-huh.
From the movies, the Hellraiser movies, the Clive Barker Hellraiser movies. They ride bikes.
Yes.
Cenobites. Thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
Cenobites. So the Cenobites, I mean, particularly the ones that came to mind were, the staring in the car sequence that we just talked about, and the demon doing coke who has a blade for a penis.
Yes.
Because there is a scene where when he starts vomiting blood, is it? Over Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah, because Nicolas Cage stabs him.
Yeah. And he starts, like, vomiting blood onto Nicolas Cage's
face.
And
it just doesn't end. And it just keeps going.
The cut doesn't come.
Yeah.
And that felt very Evil Dead 2 to me. Like, this just kind of insistence that, no, fuck it, you're going to be in my film, you're going to get covered in fake blood. Like, this kind of, like, it felt a bit like that, like, the way they treated Bruce Campbell on that film and put him through fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like that. There was something kind of just so stupid about the fact that it was just not going to stop. It's just going to keep vomiting blood on you. and we're just going to keep going. It's like he's being waterboarded.
Someone in the props department did not like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
They had a good time, though.
Would it be a deal breaker if my pee-pee was a blade?
I mean, maybe early in our relationship, it would have been hard to progress in the relationship. I feel like now I know you too much, and I'd be like, no, it's not a deal breaker. But what, then, so now, I don't think we would have got to the point where we've been together for 5 years.
So if I turned around now and said, I want to be a centre bike and get a...
Oh, like you want to get a prosthetic
pee-pee,
blade
pee-pee
penis.
Blade, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan.
I'm not doing this, by the way.
You'd have to get some kind of attachment, because you're not bringing that anywhere near me. You could cut bread with it, though.
Yeah, it has a sheath. I'm not getting a serrated bread knife penis. I'm going to get a proper, I'm going to get a proper, like...
Sorry, is that an optional extra?
I'm going to get a proper stabby one. I'm not getting a serrated bread knife. Can you imagine if it was a butter knife? One of those little stubby, rounded-ended butter knives that you get with the creamy plastic handles.
But what happens... This might be going too far. This is too far into the lore.
Let's talk about it.
We only see the erect blade penis.
We kind of see it pop up, don't we? There's a shot of the...
I maybe missed it because it was quite dark and I didn't have my glasses on.
There's a shot of the blade kind of going from what I would say is a half-mast position to a fully raised position.
Okay, but what
position.
Does... Serious question.
What does a flaccid blade
what
penis
does a
look
flaccid
like?
Blade penis look
I'll
like?
I'll be honest, I think the blade stays the same. I think it's just
pointing downwards.
It's just to do with the direction of the PP.
I mean, to be fair.
Because it looked like...
Nobody likes looking at flaccid penises, do they? That's no
yeah, but you're certainly not
going to
look... You're not going to like looking at like, it when it's got a blade coming out of its end.
Oh, you're talking about having a normal penis with a blade poking out of it.
Well, that's what I thought it was. That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, I just thought it was full on, just fully a blade.
No, it looked like it had sort of a fleshy base.
Oh, no.
And it looked like where the eye of the penis...
There was a blade coming out of it. That's even worse.
...was kind of grafted to the penis.
Oh, no.
That's how I saw it.
Oh, no.
Don't make me fucking Google Mandy blade penis, please.
That makes me feel a bit sick.
That's what I saw it as. You
because
just saw it as...
Because that suggests to me it's a body modification.
But that's what I thought it was.
I just thought because they were alien weirdos. That's not fair. Not all aliens are weirdos.
Come on, you're not going to get cancelled for calling out aliens.
Hey, if our alien overlords are coming, I don't want to be taken away for that comment.
Can you imagine if you're Can you imagine if you're in a job interview in 20 years' time and they'd be like, we went through your... This is how aliens talk.
Okay.
We went through your data pack and we found you
aliens
saying
aliens are all accountants.
Derogatory things about the Cenobite species of Alpha Beltora.
Please don't cancel me, aliens.
If you saw a jam jar, full yep. of a funny smelling substance that potentially was cum, would you stick your finger in and taste it? Because that's what Nicolas Cage does.
I mean, that's such a frat boy thing to do, isn't it?
He sees it, he sniffs it, he has a reaction which is, ugh, and then he goes, fuck it.
He still tastes it.
And he dips his finger in and gives it a taste.
It's a dirty boy.
He is a dirty boy.
Well, we're talking about blades.
Yes.
How big is your chainsaw? The chainsaw fight. Let's talk about the chainsaw fight.
So I was sold the movie on chainsaw fight.
Were
that
you?
That was a very big thing. I seem to remember when the film was out and everyone was like, Mandy.
Hmm.
Oh, it's crazy. It's the film with Nick. But in my mind, I would probably sell it in, it's the film where the guy has a blade for a penis. Right?
I mean, that's more interesting than there's a chainsaw fight.
I think it's more arresting. Uh-huh. But I was sold. It was all talk of chainsaw fight. And uh-huh. on paper, chainsaw sword fight is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Right? The execution leaves a bit to be desired.
Yeah.
It feels a bit weak, a bit floppy.
There's so much peril with chainsaws, and yet I did not feel any peril. And I couldn't work out if that was because I'd seen it before.
Yeah, it just felt a bit...
Chainsaws are fucking dangerous, man.
I love
They did not feel dangerous in this film. It's just kind of like... Here's a little chainsaw. Here's a bigger chainsaw.
Bear in mind,
clang, clang, done.
That big chainsaw, fucking hilarious. Brilliant. When that first appears.
Brilliant.
That is a proper funny gag where it just, you kind of drags it from behind the car and it just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Yeah. And you're like, shit, boy. I'm going to try and pronounce the director's name here. Panos Cosmateos. I apologise. Said that they had one night to film that chainsaw sequence.
Oh, that explains.
It was a straight up living hell.
Oh gosh,
so
what happened?
I don't know. There's no further explanation on IMDb.
No.
So I'm assuming it was just this thing should have had 2 to 3 days scheduled in for it, and it just, to me, it feels a bit lackluster.
Well, it is framed as a set piece. Even the lead up in the scene and the lead out, it feels like it should be a set piece.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't quite get there. And if they didn't have enough time, that makes a lot of sense.
Even down to the way that the other guy ultimately dies, he sort of gets a chain wrapped around his neck and he gets pulled and lands onto the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Like his chest lands on the chainsaw. And then you see a shot from above of the guy like shaking and the blood spurting out from underneath him. I wanted like... fucking again, maybe it was the Evil Dead 2 vibes going through my head.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2 being one of my favourite horror films. Like I wanted like a shot of a head flinging around, or like I wanted like a, you know, the chainsaw going up the middle of the legs and cutting the guy in half, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cutting him off at the torso and seeing the two bits slip off.
Yeah, I mean, for a film that's very gory, this should have been a slap bang, goriest bit of the film. I should have been sitting in the other room not wanting to watch it.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't. It's a missed trick, I feel.
You're the shit, Alexi. You're the shit. You're the shit. You're the shit.
What's your favourite planet?
Ooh.
Opening of the film. What's your favourite planet?
I love that.
It's cute.
I really like that sequence.
Also,
really simple, charming way to get to know a general vibe of two characters instantly. Love that.
What's also a really good pub quiz question. Not pub quiz.
An emergency question.
Yeah.
Uranus.
Because you like the name.
Yeah, it's funny. What's my favourite planet? Earth? Because I live on it? I've not seen the other ones.
Fucking hell.
What?
This is such a boring answer. I'm
what
never
would your
asking
answer
you
be?
Questions again. I don't know. I like Saturn because it's got that cool ring. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Saturn looks badass.
Fair enough. Pluto, ice planet, that's cool.
Not technically a planet anymore, if we believe the haters.
That is. What is it then? Asteroid?
It's a dwarf planet, I believe.
Ah, dwarf planet. That's even better. That sounds fun. Tiny little ice planet. That sounds like great fun.
Cold and bitter.
Yeah. And tiny, like you.
It is cold, bitter and tiny. Perfect. You should rename it after me.
Shall we have some Amazon film reviews?
Yes, indeed.
How did the people... This is something I'm interested to see about, because this film got a big sort of... a big push and a lot of talk, and I struggle to see if general audiences would enjoy this or even persevere with this. I imagine there's a lot of, it's really slow and boring, which to a point it kind of is.
You would be correct. We asked Jeffrey Bezos for his best Mandy opinions. This is what we got. Mr. S.G. Higgins gives it 1 star.
Mm-hmm.
Says, dire, avoid like the plague. A phrase which I now cannot bear to fucking hear.
Yeah, I don't like that phrase.
When there is an actual plague still living.
That we are trying to avoid.
2 years in, here we are. I really used to like Nick Cage, but he has so lost the plot about what makes a good movie. So bad. From now on, anything with Nick Cage is off the watch list in this household.
Anything?
Sad. He did the Trump.
What about G-Force?
I know. G-Force is the best.
Oh my gosh, he's not going to get to see G-Force or that cancelled Tiger King show.
Poor Mr. Higgins.
Oh.
But Nick says, Nicolas Cage is heading to Tesco to collect trolleys. I do not understand what that means.
I believe it means he will be unemployed soon.
Oh.
I believe he is heading to Tesco's to collect trolleys because no one will cast him in anything because he's doing a bad job in this film.
Oh, that makes much more sense. I disagree, though. I don't think Nicolas Cage is the problem with this film
at all. I think Nicolas Cage is doing a good job in
this film.
He does
some really affecting stuff, especially when he, like, sort of sees Mandy's ashy body.
Yeah.
I think he's doing a great job.
I think he's doing a great job. I really like to see him quite quiet and reserved and gentle at the beginning. I thought that was really nice.
Anyway, he's off to Tesco for a job, we assume. I've always been a fan of Nicolas Cage films. Everyone says this when they badly review a Nicolas Cage. They're like,
what they mean
I've always loved him. That's not true.
No, you haven't always.
That's not true.
No,
you've seen two films that you like.
You like National Treasure and you liked Face Off.
Yeah.
You haven't always been a Nicolas Cage fan. You haven't watched Bangkok Dangerous. I have.
You haven't been through the trenches, man. We know.
I watched Next. I saw that hairpiece. You're not a real fan. Fucking hipsters.
Not necessarily the acting, as he isn't brilliant, but his films are usually an enjoyable watch. It's up for debate whether he's brilliant or not, pals.
You haven't watched Bangkok Dangerous!
Over the last few years, he has disappeared from the big screen and now can only be seen in straight-to-DVD releases.
Yeah. It was that point. This was the thing that pushed him back into the mainstream.
Yes. I think this now sums him up. He has never been the greatest of actors. Like, this person is doubling down on the fact he's not a great actor. And I disagree. I think he's just too much sometimes.
Nicolas Cage would like to shove his Oscar up your bum. Not the greatest actor. I always hate that comment. Just because you don't like... It's not James Corden. We all know it's James Corden's
not
the greatest
actor. I would be interested
to
know who Burtnick is comparing Nicolas Cage to.
Yeah.
When appearing in big budget action films, this didn't really matter. But now that the budgets aren't there, he hasn't the acting skills to make any of his roles believable. I've watched nearly all of his recent DVD releases, and it is hugely evident that he's on a downward trajectory with alarming pace. The film ranks as one of the worst I have seen in my 50 years, and I include many B-movies in this. Even if I was partial to taking a large amount of mind-bending psychotic drugs, this would still have been deplorable.
What is
it? Another Trump fan.
The Trumpisms.
I know. They're both from 2018, these reviews. November 2018, so...
I admittedly did have that big phrase where I kept using the word Bing.
What?
Have you heard that? Trump loves the word Bing.
Oh, yeah.
Bing, 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 bing. Bing, bing, bing.
Perhaps the writer and director did before filming it. That makes no sense because I broke. He's talking about taking drugs.
Oh.
He thinks the writer and director took drugs.
Oh.
I can't award no stars, unfortunately. And sadly, we'll never watch another Nicolas Cage film as there was better acting in my son's first nativity play. Scathing review from the back seats there. Scathing. Was that a phone vibration I just heard?
Fucking Angry Birds too.
Should you not be on aeroplane mode, sir?
I am. Look. There's the tiny aeroplane. He's on.
And that, friends, is your Amazon review.
Well, I think that's also the end of the podcast, isn't it?
Probably.
Unless there's anything you want to cover.
I don't think so.
Stop panic buying fuel.
Don't be dicks. And remember... You're a vicious snowflake.
I had that note as well.
You're a vicious snowflake.
I would adore to be called a vicious snowflake.
I love it.
I might get a tattoo of that.
Vicious snowflake.
Vicious snowflake. Fuck you, I'm a vicious snowflake. What are we doing next time?
Oh, we haven't decided. This is fun.
No.
It's a whole month away.
It's a whole month away, chaps and chapettes. And everyone else in between.
Peeps.
Peeps, pals. I like pals.
I like pals.
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals is like my favourite.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's a whole fucking month away.
So long.
So, send in your suggestions.
Yeah, chuck them at us. We've got all the main streaming services. And if not, we will mine the internet to find whatever... nuggets of gold you want us to watch.
Oh, fuck yeah. I bought an Austin Powers box set for £1 at the charity shop. If you've got a suggestion, I'll spend actual money on it if I can find it. So that was Mandy. It's not streaming anywhere.
No.
It's not streaming anywhere.
It's a DVD physical media / download job, I'm afraid, pals.
I think so. I couldn't find it anywhere anyway.
May be in places not the UK.
Yeah, slash you can rent it on Google Play and all that kind of nonsense.
Yes, indeed.
But enjoy it if you can. If you don't, then...
I mean...
Go sit on a blade dick.
Take it or leave it. Oh, jeez. Hey, this is a safe place here. We're a friendly neighbourhood podcast. Not a raging go sit on a blade dick podcast,
Go
okay?
sit on a blade, motherfuckers.
Oh, you're such a vicious snowflake.
Fuck yeah. It's the end of the podcast. Bitch. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to our silly little podcast. If you've enjoyed yourself, the best thing you could do for us would be to leave us a little review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps other people find the show. If you'd like to help us out a little bit more, you can find us on all the usual social medias at Nick Cage Pod. That's at NICCAGEPOD. I'm talking Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. And if that's still not enough, or if you've got a spare couple of quid burning a hole in your pocket, you can buy us a virtual coffee at ko-fi.com/Nick Cage Pod. After all, we need to pay for these ridiculous movies somehow.